S-R-N.
Very handy, I can tell. I bet you like to read a lot, too.
Print is dead.
Oh, that's very fascinating to me. I read a lot myself. Some people think I'm too intellectual, but I think it's a fabulous way to spend your spare time. I also play racquetball. Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
We're sending you back to the future!
What was his name? The departed.
Flash Gordon.
You mean Dumbo?
Nothing's free in Waterworld.
On an hour, he could have total recall.
And this is England.
The 300 Spartans!
He has a corpse bride!
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
Watching out for the bad boys.
Welcome to Con Air.
Welcome to The Rock.
You have 13 hours in which to solve the labyrinth.
General, I propose we go forward with your monsters versus aliens idea. Thingy.
Please consider this my 2 weeks' notice.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
You are now listening to the Spunkies.
Welcome to episode 60 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. No, you're too kind. You're too kind. Episode 60, the brand new studio, the brand new Crespediso studio. Crespediso, it's the SNS Crespediso 2.0 is what it is, because it's a mix of boning names and technology bullshit like the 90s.
Oh, can we make it the HMS Crespediso?
That voice is Drew Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going. It reminds me of the HMS Fat Girl.
We can't be the HMS Crespediso because HMS is Her Majesty's.
I know.
And we're not British.
But dude, now that the Fat Girl wasn't British, then she was still the HMS Fat Girl.
Yeah, so that was a misnamed vessel. It should have been the USS Fat Girl.
Gotta talk to Billy about that.
Billy D! It should have been the USS Fat Girl, buddy, not the HMS Fat Girl. You, sir, are not English, you're American.
No, I'm pretty sure we gave it the HMS title. Give it that extra bit of class.
Extra bit of class. Hey, you know, our
dude,
British...
The Fat Girl was classy, dude.
Our British listeners know that they have just a bit more class than we do, which is cool.
It's the accent. It really
it's
is.
The accent. They've been around longer. The whole tea time thing. You guys got more class. We got bigger guns. At the end of the day, we got each other's backs, right? Shout out to our UK listeners, because those guys are awesome. Also, shout out to Mike Seven Deuce. Shout out to Caleb
Twombly.
In Oklahoma. Caleb Twombly. Thanks, bro. Shout out to all our listeners, Gene and St. Louis, and you know, all you guys know who you are. You're all great. So this is a new studio. I'll tell you, Drew, this has been not only one of the very long week. But
correct.
Somehow it was even a longer weekend.
Dude, these 2 days definitely went by slower than the last five.
It went by slow as hell and just packed with things to do, heavy lifting.
Still not done.
Still not done with shit. For the most part, we're done, though.
No, we're not.
No, I mean, no, there's rearranging to be done, but for the most part, we're done with the horribleness. It was a horrible weekend, and you know what? I mean, we barely got a movie in this weekend. I hardly have any show prep done. This is probably going to be a short show. So if you guys are looking at the runtime, like, man, this is one of the shortest shows, that is why. I'm sorry. We apologize, but it's been hell.
Screw you. I'm not sorry.
Drew's not sorry.
I worked hard, and it took time, and you guys get this for free. So
there you go. That's Dr. Drew's 2 cents on that one. There you go. By the way, I'm looking forward to the next Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Want to give people a teaser about what it's going to be?
Food.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be about food. Well, I mean, I am a culinarian. I do this shit for a living. That's what I do. That's how I pay the bills. I cook.
Yes.
So I have views on food.
Opinions.
I have some very strong opinions on food, and I'm going to just let you people know right now, if you are a vegetarian or a vegan or gluten friendly or any of that silly
gluten free friendly
stupid horse shit,
not gluten friendly, gluten free friendly,
whatever, any of that nonsense, you're probably not going to be very happy with what I have to say.
But you might be entertained by it, though.
I'll totally be entertained, but you're definitely not going to agree with me.
So look forward to that one in a couple weeks. That's going to be the Dr. Drew's Two Cents for March 2014. That's very exciting. I don't know about you, Drew, but I'm ready to get the show started. What do you say?
I mean, if you say so. I was kind of ready to maybe take a nap.
Oh, yeah.
It's been kind of long.
Take a nap. At this point, it's not a nap. It's a solid 8 to 10 hours of sleep.
I'm talking maybe like a 12-hour nap.
Man, I got the Oscars. The Oscars are going on right now.
As we speak.
If you want to hear our Oscar picks, you're listening to the wrong episode. You got to go back one to our bonus episode, 2014 Oscar picks. If you want to hear our Oscar recap, you're listening to the wrong episode. That's episode 61. Which, who knows, when you're listening to this, episode 61 might be out by now. So
yeah, you never know.
So that's our Oscar recap show. Oscar's going on right now. I'm recording that shit, which is why I'm not live tweeting it. So all you people that are concerned why I'm not live tweeting, that's why no one's concerned about
that.
No
one's concerned, Chris. Nobody cares.
And then we're going to, so I'm going to watch Oscars after this. Oh my God, it's such a long day. And then the week starts tomorrow.
Yeah, can we not talk about the week? I have a lot of stuff to do this week.
Hey, why are we still talking about this? Did we start the show? Did we just start the show?
I don't know.
I think we started the show. Let's get into the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. I'm so excited about that. Let's see what we got going on this week on Netflix. Drew Sir Cogburn as the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. Let's get that thing started. I fixed the one with all the old broken microwave parts. I fixed it.
Fixed it?
I fixed it. So it's warmed up. And here we go. Should we be ready just about? Now, Chris Woody Saramanizer's 9000 just spit out a movie. Drew Cogburn's going to make sure that it's going to be available on the Netflix for a while, because March 1st just passed. A bunch of movies just got dumped from the Netflix, including Dances with Wolves. That's been our example for the last couple of weeks. But Drew Cogburn's giving us a thumbs up. Drew, what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the... comma. Because I said week before. So what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the...
It's a new one, Chris. Prince Avalanche.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. That's definitely going to be on there for a little while.
Yeah, it's newer.
Prince Avalanche is directed by David Gordon Green. I think it just came out last year. And it's with Paul Rudd and Emil Hirsch, who is a speed racer, was speed racer. So, it's a great movie. David Gordon Green, when he was first starting out, made a lot of really small budget little dramas, character dramas, romantic films, stuff like that. Movies like George Washington, All the Real Girls, stuff like that. Very different from the David Gordon Green who made Pineapple Express and Your Highness. You know, these bigger budget movies. Even The Sitter with Jonah Hill. That, for some reason, he made a hard left and started making crazy comedies. But he started out making these kind of Southern American drama films. And Prince Avalanche, even though it's a remake of, I think, an Icelandic or Swedish movie, something like that, it's still very much in the vein of his older movies. His more Southern American, slower paced, just character-based films. It's very cheap. It was made over the course of like 13 days. It's only two guys pretty much talking about their lives and everything. And it's great.
On a road. Oh,
they're repairing a road. That's the whole movie. Two guys are repairing
the
a
random,
road.
The random drunkard truck driver.
Random drunkard truck driver with a woman.
Yes. Oh, she comes out of nowhere, too.
She does come out. Exactly.
And does she even exist, Chris?
Does a truck driver exist? Do any of them exist?
You know, that's a really good question.
These are the questions that come up when you watch this movie, and it all makes sense when you watch it. It's great. Yeah, that is some really good stuff that they throw in there. Yeah. So Prince Avalanche, David Gordon Green, I'm a big fan. Great pick, Drew. Great pick. Randomizer 9000. All right, so there we go. Let's get into the box office recap for the weekend. What do you say about that?
Sounds good to me.
All right, what do you got over there, dude?
Well, first off, I want to start at number 8.
Okay.
Number 8 is Frozen. It made $3.611 million.
So Frozen's finally out of the top 5.
Yes, finally out of the top 5. Total domestic, 388. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up was because after this weekend, Frozen hit a billion, bro.
Woo! $611 million international for $1 billion. That makes only the second movie of 2013. Because technically it's a 2013 movie.
Yes.
Only the second one of 2013 to hit a billion after Iron Man 3. And it might even pass Iron Man to be the highest grossing movie from 2013, which is
ridiculous.
Crazy.
Dude, the legs on this thing.
The legs on it. There you go. That's using the verbiage, Drew. Yeah, I mean, I'm thoroughly impressed.
Every time we talk about legs, Chris, we need to have a ZZ Top thing. She's got legs! And then we can go on.
Yeah, we should, right?
We should.
Okay, I'll see if I can make that happen.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so Frozen, I am thoroughly impressed, even though the only review we've had of the movie on the show was from...
It was terrible.
Was Pedro Lima.
Pedro hated it.
Who came out and just ragged on it, which is great. I love it when he hates on a movie because it's so funny. But, excuse me. But that being said, the movie's made so much money. It's a cultural thing now.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see it on DVD eventually. I don't know about going to see it in a movie theater. We might stumble into a movie theater on a re-release, a sing-along re-releases. Have you heard about these sing-along things that they do?
Shoot me in the face.
Yeah, right? It's something like this where they have a lot of songs. Because apparently Frozen is very much a musical where it's like four or five songs.
Isn't it Disney?
Yeah, but not every single, these days, not every single Disney movie is going to be a musical.
Yeah, but Disney animated films do have a lot of music in them.
Yeah, but then how many Disney animated movies have there been in the last 10 years? Like Disney animated, not Pixar.
Yeah, no, there hasn't been that many.
There was Tangled. I don't think Tangled had that many songs. Maybe they were kind of poppy, like Shrek style. You know, I have no idea. Anyway, so we're going to have to see Frozen, even though it has a bunch of songs.
I don't.
Well, all right, well, I guess I'll sit around one day and watch it by myself. Like a loser. All right, Drew, let's move on.
Speaking of losers, number five this week, 3 Days to Kill.
3 Days to Kill.
Weekend gross of $4.9 million. Total gross of $20.701 on a budget of $28.
You have 3 Days to Kill. It's never said in that movie because that's a bullshit title.
No, it is said.
No, not in that.
But not in that context.
It is said in the context of a daughter being like, "Oh, so we have 3 days to kill. Yeah, as we have nothing to do for 3 days. Yep. So we have time to kill."
Yes.
Even though he's a guy who's dying and he does appear to have some sort of timetable, there's nothing about him having to kill people a certain amount of time. It's just the title alone annoys me now to no end, and it's now transferring over to the rest of the movie and just making me hate the rest of the movie more and more. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because when I first walked out of that movie, I didn't hate it.
The more you think about it, the more you dislike it?
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, totally.
I
really didn't like it when I left the movie.
So when you walked out, you were like, fuck that movie already?
Yeah, pretty much.
When I walked out, I was like, eh.
Yeah, I walked out, I was like, you know what? Yeah. If anybody asked me, Drew, should I go see this movie? I'd be like, no.
Yeah. If someone asked me, I would have been like, eh. Do you like Kevin Costner? But now, if someone asked me, I'd be like, fuck that movie. 3 Days to Kill doesn't even make any sense. Fuck that shit. Fuck. All right, moving on. Making sure we get that R rating.
Number four, Monuments Men. Total gross, $5 million. Weekend gross of five. Total of $65.69. Budget 70.
Yeah, man. Made a little more than $5 million total. Monuments Men doing pretty good with that $65 million total, considering, you know, how much George Clooney movies usually make when he's not surrounded by Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, Casey Affleck, like, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
This time he is surrounded by John Goodman and Bill Murray.
John Goodman, Bill Murray, yes.
Matt Damon.
But even that, yeah, well, back with Matt Damon, right? But even then, Matt Damon, take away the Bourne movies, okay?
Uh-huh.
None of these guys are bankable lead actors. They're all actors that people like. People talk about them well. But, I mean, what was the last Bill Murray movie to make a bunch of money?
They don't.
Groundhog Day?
Yeah, no, Bill Murray has never been that bankable guy, but he's a cultural phenomenon.
He's a cultural phenomenon. He adds cachet to a project, but people aren't going to movies just to see Bill Murray. Same thing with John Goodman.
I mean, I am, but that's just me.
I don't know, man. How much did you enjoy Broken Flowers in theaters? No, no one saw Broken Flowers in theaters, man. It's a Jim Jarmusch film. Even Bill Murray can't get that beyond the art house ghetto of, like, you know, 200 theaters across the country. So that being said, even though you got what looks like a great team up of great actors, none of them, it's not like you have a Will Smith in there with The Rock and then, you know, Tom Hanks. You put those guys in the movie together, you expect this thing to make $500 million and meet, like... Like that.
I want to see that movie, Chris.
That'd be a cool movie. I don't even know. It doesn't matter what the movie's about. I just want to see those superstar actors. And we're throwing Tom Cruise in as well. Because you know why? Because he begs to.
Well, that okay, so Hanks and Cruise are the bad guys then.
Let's make this movie happen. Hanks and Cruise are the bad guys. The Rock and who was the first guy we said?
I don't remember.
Damn it. They team up. They're mismatched cops. Hanks. No, so you think Cruz is the main bad guy, but he's really working for Hanks the whole time.
Yes. Oh, man. And you think Hanks is some good little goody two shoes the whole time, but in all reality, he's the puppet master.
He's the puppet master. Yeah, I mean, this thing writes itself. Come on, Hollywood. I don't know why you guys are waiting for remaking more old stuff, old TV
Seriously,
shows.
Seriously, we just wrote a script for you in 5 minutes.
This movie did make almost $40 million internationally, so it is at $104 million worldwide. When you compare that to other George Clooney movies, like Ides of March, only made about $40 million here in the States and only $35 international. So that only made $75 total. And that was, I mean,
that's an American political thriller, though.
Yeah, no. But you're still talking about Ryan Gosling, George Clooney. You know, it's a lot of hot people, hot faces. You know, hot in every sense of the word.
Yeah, but the ladies aren't going to see Gosling in the Ides of March.
No,
they're excuse me? The what?
Like, he's wearing a tie? What's
I don't understand. Does he take off his shirt? No, I'm not interested.
No, is Crazy Stupid Love still playing in theaters? So $100 million on a $70 million budget. It'll probably get to like $130, $140 total. And you know what? They'll take that. Clooney will keep making movies. I don't think anyone's going to stop him these days. So let's move on.
Number three this week, The Lego Movie. Woo! Had a weekend gross of $21 million.
God damn.
Gross of $209 on a budget of $60.
$21 million in its fourth week?
Yeah. People are loving The Lego Movie.
Hot damn. $209 million.
I want The Lego Movie to pull a Frozen.
I
wanted to just sit there and chill in the top five forever and then just kind of go down to six and then like 2 weeks later, boom, it's up to four again out of nowhere.
You know, the way it's going, it might be making money just a little faster than Frozen here.
It's good.
It's already at $209 million after 4 weeks. Frozen took a little longer, I think, to get there. Add on another $121 internationally. You got $330 million worldwide for The Lego Movie. Good job, Phil Lord and Chris Miller. The team of Lord and Miller.
Lord Miller.
These guys, you know, they banked that. 22 Jump Street's going to be a hit, even if it's not good.
It's not going to be as good. I mean, even the trailer's not as good.
It's a rule of comedies, man. I mean, even if it's an action comedy, though, you got to go heavier on the action. You got to switch it up.
Exactly.
You got to go Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yes.
Heavy on the action. Get Tony Scott to do that shit. They're not going to do that. It's Lord Miller. It'll still be comedy.
They can't get Tony Scott to do that, Chris.
That's the... totes dead. Tony Scott is totes dead. Yeah, he threw himself off a bridge.
Yep.
He's just like, you know what?
I'm done with this.
This is how I live my life. By ending it.
This is how I live my life, by ending it abruptly.
24 frames per second. I hope he had a GoPro camera strapped to his face, and then he had orders to give to some guy to like avid farted, crazy edit it together. It's like, team room. It's like, put this Nine Inch Nails song behind it. Is it too soon to talk about? No, it's not too soon. Nah. Lego Movie, awesome, guys. Go see it. My parents went and saw The Lego Movie. My mom fell asleep during it. So, let's move on.
Number two this week, Sonny Good. Weekend Gross, $26.5
I wish that's the way the voiceover guys said in the trailers.
Same as the total. I got no budget.
This Easter, go see
Sonny Good.
Sonny Good.
It's a History Channel rehash in theaters, and God, they're making so much money.
I read in one place that there is some new footage mixed in there with the old footage that got cut down. The 10-hour miniseries that got cut down to 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours and 18 minutes, actually. It's kind of a long movie. $26 million opening weekend is kind of tough to gauge because we talked about last week how all these churches, yeah, they're doing the audience bomb thing where they're buying thousands of theaters worth of seats at a time. So I wonder if they'll be happy with $26 million. It's the number two movie of the weekend.
Correct.
So it's going to get the publicity. White Jesus is out there for everyone to see.
Yep.
And
I think he's Puerto Rican Jesus. He doesn't look white. He's got dark hair and kind of olive skin.
Let's see. Can we get some info on this actor here? I'll try to look that up. Because, yeah, I mean, the whole can we please...
Get rid of this white
the
Jesus
white
thing.
Jesus thing. I mean, yeah, it's 2014. We all now know we've now looked at the Bible more closely. Even the Bible's accounts of who Jesus was do not confirm that he was of the Aryan race. But
he was a Jew.
But I mean, this is even this Son of God. Even I'm still looking up now. I think he might be Italian. Even then,
yeah. Well, I mean,
Italian,
they,
Brazilian.
They
what's
do
going
that all the
on
time.
Here?
I do not think the guy's Caucasian.
But he looks it, though. He doesn't look dark enough. His hair is still long and thin.
Yeah, he does have thin hair.
The Bible says that he had a thick hair of wool.
Of course, he had a freaking Jufro, bro. He was a Jew.
Jufro, bro. That's, is that the name of the show? I don't know. It's like offensive Jufro. Bro, I'm going to write that down, but that might not be the name of the show because, I don't know. Some Jewish people find the use of the word Jew offensive.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Diego Morgado is...
At least he's Hispanic.
Portugal. He's Portuguese.
Oh, Portuguese, okay.
So, you're getting closer to the region of the world where Jesus is from, I guess.
I mean, Mediterranean. I mean, technically, it's all kind
of... Portugal's not a Mediterranean. Maybe part of it. Part of it is Atlantic Ocean. Just like the Brits.
Why
not a British Jesus? Michael Fassbender.
I'm not sure if Portugal touches the Mediterranean because it's...
Hey, this isn't a geography podcast, so if we get this wrong, don't blame us.
I don't know.
That's not our thing. We will have a map of the world here, that which we open up, a globe, which when we then open up, it'll have booze inside. At that point, then we'll be able to tell you where Portugal is in relation to the Mediterranean. But for right now...
Assuming Portugal's not at the bottom of the globe, that we cannot rotate.
So I'll say it's good for them that they got a Portuguese guy to play Jesus. We're getting closer to the actual ethnicity of what that those people were at that time period in that place of the world. It's better than Willem Dafoe.
Yep.
Right?
Okay, well, I mean... give and take. Or Willem Dafoe was awesome as Jesus. He's just so white. It's not believable.
He's just so white. Still, him as Jesus was awesome. Better. Yeah. It was better than Harvey Keitel as Judas. Because Judas Iscariot should not have a Brooklyn accent. But Harvey Keitel was like, you know what? This is who I am.
Yeah.
Son of God. Good for them.
Sit again.
I'll give him one of these. Good job, guys. Good job. He turned that History Channel miniseries into a film. He made some money.
Congratulations.
They got the sequel coming out on the NBC, I think. Or maybe it's CBS. It's whoever Mark Burnett has a hookup with. But they got the sequel. So it's because it ended with Jesus, right? The Bible miniseries.
It ends with him dying at the end.
Ends with him dying, but then ended with, and then the resurrection.
Yeah. It goes through the whole thing.
Okay, so then after that you have the story of Paul. Story of Saul, who was blinded on the road to Damascus, and then he turned into Paul, and then he was, you know, one of the great beginners of Christianity and all that. Then he got all the different letters and stuff. There's a bunch of stories in there. And then, of course, he got Revelations, which is what I'm looking forward to.
Ooh, yeah, the acid trip.
I'm looking forward to the low-budget network TV version of Revelations. It'll be very violent.
Oh, yeah.
Because network TV is extremely violent.
Oh, God, the graphics are going to be so bad.
The graphics. Who says graphics anymore? What is this, the 90s?
Yes.
You mean the effects? The CG? What would it be CG?
What does CG stand for?
Computer graphic imaging?
No. Computer graphics. CG. Computer graphics.
Graphics. For some reason, when I hear someone call something, when I hear graphics, it sounds very 90s. Like, this is before we understood technology fully.
Awesome.
But yeah, it is part of the word, though.
Yeah.
Still just sounds old.
Yeah.
Graphics. Ah, uh-huh. Son of God. Are we still talking about Son of Graphics?
Son of God.
I'm going to write that down. Son of Graphics.
Number one this week, the man who beat Jesus, Liam Neeson.
Oh, the Christians aren't going to like to hear that one.
Dude, the only reason why I said it is because at the top of Box Office Mojo, the headline is Neeson beats Jesus.
Yeah, that's what they that's what they do, because first off, in the media, a box office top 5, 1 through 5, it has to be some sort of fucking competition. Like, oh, who won the weekend, right? So they're going to do things like Neeson beat Jesus. Yeah, if Son of God was number one, it'd be like Jesus conquers all or some shit that, you know? Yep. If the Lego movie was number one, Legos beat Jesus. You know, they would have loved that.
So, Nonstop
was Nonstop.
Number one.
Yeah.
Had a weekend gross of $30.19 million. Mm-hmm. Sam's total.
Okay.
Budget of 50.
All right, there we go. So, Nonstop starring Liam Neeson, directed by the guy who did Orphan. Remember Orphan?
No, I never saw Orphan.
You never saw Orphan? Really? Who did I see Orphan with?
Oh, no, yeah, I did see Orphan.
Yeah, with the girl.
Yeah, the stupid girl who turned out to be...
an old woman the whole time?
Yeah, it was really lame.
Oh, you thought it was lame? I like the style. I like the guy.
I like the style. I thought the twist at the end was super stupid.
Yeah, it is a silly twist. Yeah, it's a silly movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That appears to be this guy's M.O.
Yeah, Nonstop was quite a silly movie.
Not sure how to pronounce this. Jaume Colessera. J-A-U-M-E. I believe he's French-Canadian, maybe. You know what? All right. Nonstop.
Yo, did you see the Liam Neesons in Nonstop, yo?
You see the Neesons? You see them Neesons? Neesons is my boy. I love that skit. So funny.
So good.
Bruce Willis. All right. So let's talk about Nonstop. Nonstop's the movie where if you've seen the commercial or the trailers, then you've seen 95% of the movie.
The only thing you haven't seen
is the big reveal.
Is the big reveal at the end and maybe one plot twist in the middle.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, but other than that, the entire movie is in the trailer.
It's ridiculous.
I mean,
it's a shame.
It does, because it shows, I'm an air marshal. I'm here. There are dead bodies.
Dead bodies. Every 20 minutes.
There's a bomb. And even at the end, they show the plane, like, coming down for the landing.
Yeah, the plane's on fire.
Yeah.
And it's going to crash land. They give you so much in the trailer. I really feel like if they kept out the bomb, if they kept out,
and if they would have kept out the freaking the scene where the gun rises to his hand,
oh, the worst.
If I
you know what, didn't even the angle that's in the trailer didn't even use it in the movie.
I know, better angle in the trailer.
It looked sillier. You could see what was going on easier, but also looked sillier.
Correct.
You know. They could have cut out details. They could have cut out.
Because if I would have seen that part in the trailer, I mean, if that part hadn't been in the trailer, I would have come out of the movie and been like, you know, at least the part where he caught the gun was really cool.
That was super funny.
Out of nowhere, you know, zero gravity. All of a sudden, boom, he catches it. And he
super slow
across.
Motion.
You know, if I would have seen that without seeing it in the trailers, I think it would have had a better effect.
But instead, you saw the trailer in front of every single movie for the last 10 weeks.
And on, you know, every commercial break for every TV show that I watched for the last 10 weeks, too.
So, you know how that part is going to happen. And what happens, like, okay,
you're like, oh, this is the part.
This is the part. Here it comes. It's happening now. There goes all suspense. Thank you, marketing, for taking that away from us. I was honestly thinking while I was watching the movie, like the whole part where, and this is in all the commercials and all the trailers, so we're not spoiling anything.
Non-spoiler alert
for Nonstop. About 30, 40 minutes into the movie, you know, he's like, they find out, okay, the routing number that was given to you by this terrorist, it's in your name. Okay, now the media thinks that you're hijacking the airplane. You know, that's all a big twist, but that's all given away in the trailer and just like commercials.
Yeah.
If I had known that going into the movie, it was like, oh, he's just trying to stop someone from killing people on the plane for whatever reason.
You'd be like, whoa, there's a twist here.
It's like, whoa, this is twisty. This is getting big. All of a sudden now the world thinks he's trying to take down. Like, wow, this would have surprised me, you know? But it didn't surprise me because it was in every single goddamn trailer. Yep. And because of that,
I'm trying to save the plane.
Exactly. I was anticipating plot points and already lines of dialogue and shit. It took away from a lot of the surprise and suspense of the movie. And I felt like if I hadn't known that stuff, I went into the movie cold, I would have enjoyed it more.
Agreed.
I really do.
Yeah.
But having so much of it spoiled ahead of time, it was like, it's the fun got taken out of this thing. Because this is the type of movie where the fun is in the journey. It's all in the weirdness, the clues, the puzzle pieces. Like, what's going on? Who is it? Most movies like this, when you get to the part where, all right, here's the big reveal. Here's the reason why. It's always a letdown. Because
always.
You're like, that was it. Like, when it happens in this movie, I was like, really? That's what it is?
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
That's what it is.
Like, I guess, if you guys want to go there. It was definitely way more fun getting to that point than that part itself, you know. So, anyway. Summation, Drew, what did you think? What did you think of the movie when it was all said and done? What did you recommend to people? How much money should they pay to see this?
I mean, if you want to see another generic Liam Neeson action movie, by all means.
Taken on an airplane.
Go see Nonstop. Yeah, Taken Nonstop on an airplane, and you might be a little paranoid. but other than that, don't even bother. It's just another Liam Neeson action movie. There isn't anything special about it. There isn't anything super cool about it. There isn't really anything that separates it from any of the other ones except the fact that he's in a plane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Die Hard on a plane, which was already done with Passenger 57. So it's Passenger 57 on a plane already?
With old man Neeson's
double bean with old man Neeson's who he gets jumped by five guys and
whoops,
he takes it on his like elbow here broken arm there boom bow this guy's like 6 years old he's just taking people out. It's awesome. Only in the movies. So what'd you tell people? Theater, matinee, Redbox, see it on an airplane.
Cheapest you can go.
As cheap as you can go. So that'd be like HBO. Yeah. Hell, that'd be 2017 TBS. With commercial breaks.
If it had commercial breaks, it'd be even worse. Don't watch our network TV. It's not...
So Drew's saying HBO, something like that. Maybe cheap on demand, Redbox
maybe,
is a buck and change is the cheapest you can go.
Maybe when your buddy buys it because he likes Liam Neeson, so he watches it once, you can borrow it from him and watch it once and give it back.
So ask your Liam Neeson completist friends for their copy of Nonstop when they get it the day it comes out. And then watch it and be like, and then throw it back at him.
Yep.
Because we know this person's a dude. There are no ladies. Actually, you never know. It's a weird, wild world out there.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, Nonstop. Was that the number one movie?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, let's see what new movies are coming out here on DVD. We got a whole bunch of movies actually coming out on DVD this week, dude. We got Josh Brolin in Old Boy, a Spike Lee film. Not a joint. A film. Yeah, it wasn't very good. I think maybe this will be the director's cut that has like 20 minutes put back in. That should hopefully just make the movie make more sense overall. Did I tell you about how I read about the director's cut of The Counselor?
Yes.
And how it's like 20 minutes longer and it's supposed to... I mean, it's out now. People have seen it and they reviewed it. And a lot of people... Some people have seen the 20-minute version without seeing the theatrical version. And it just the way it's edited that way, it breathes more. And it makes more sense. And the problems that were problems theatrically, they're softened in the director's cut.
Is this like a Kingdom of Heaven type thing?
But not that point, because Kingdom of Heaven was a thing where Fox made them cut out like entire subplots.
Yeah.
So the movie literally didn't make any sense. The Counselor is more of a thing where just scenes are longer, some conversations just linger longer, but it just works better.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, but I think having seen it first theatrically, that might hurt it.
Sour us.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll have to investigate that. Might be a similar thing with Old Boy. We'll have to find out this week. Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Rest in peace, Philip Seymour Hoffman. 12 Years a Slave comes out. My pick for Best Picture. And by the time you're hearing this, you'll know whether or not it won. Yeah. So there we go. And The Grandmaster, Wong Kar-wai is The Grandmaster, which is another one, which this, I want, that movie is like a Kingdom of Heaven thing where it had 20-30 minutes cut out, but it was like a whole romantic subplot, because you saw the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Tony Leung had the thing with the woman and they're fighting each other
and then
they're like, they barely spoke. And then all of a sudden at the end, they're like, oh, I hate to see you go. I love you. And then they're crying.
Yeah. It's like this whole unrequited love thing. And I'm like, wait a minute. There must've been something.
Yeah. Like what's going on? Didn't he just have a wife back in the old country? There's a whole thing cut out involving all that shit. All the romantic stuff. The wine scenes were like, yeah, American audiences want the Kung Fu. And you know what I want? I want a movie that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing the uncut Grandmaster. Wong Kar-wai the Grandmaster. So that's what's coming out on DVD. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
In theaters this week, we got 300 Rise of an Empire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I am not looking forward to this. I love 300, too.
Me, too. But it's produced by Mr. Snyder.
Yeah, it's directed by some dude who I think he comes from the commercial world. So he's not, you know. Who knows if he's really that good or not.
Yeah.
And in this movie, we won't know because he's just aping Zack Snyder's style.
Totally.
So we won't know if...
he's any good or not.
Yeah, even after this movie.
Yep.
So I guess we'll have to wait and find out even longer.
Yep. Also coming out this weekend, the new Wes Anderson flick, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
That I'm looking forward to.
Dude, you put Ray Fiennes with Ed Norton
Ralph Fiennes.
And F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah.
And you put, you know, Wes Anderson and his fun little style behind it all, mm-hmm. And I am so in.
If you like Wes Anderson movies, you should check out The French New Wave from the, you know, 60s, 70s. That's when a lot of the French film critics got together and were like, we don't like the way movies are going these days. We're going to make our own movies. Those guys ended up being Truffaut and Godard and all these guys that are fucking pillars of the cinematic universe, you know? All started as film critics. Anderson That's what he cut his teeth on. He's all about, like, Truffaut. Just watch a Truffaut movie, and it's straight up like, oh, so this is where Wes Anderson gets his shit from. Yeah. It's like watching an Alan J. Pakula movie. You're like, oh, now I understand David Fincher movies.
Yes.
This is why everything's all brown and underlit, because he liked this guy.
No. Because remember, Chris, the greats imitate the greatest. They steal. Straight up.
Amateurs imitate.
Yep.
Professionals steal. That is absolutely correct. So, yeah, I'm super looking forward to Grand Budapest Hotel. I love Wes Anderson.
I love Ralph Fiennes.
And yeah, that's a great team up. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun.
So, I think it's going to be a really silly Ralph Fiennes, too.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be like this serious, dark Ralph Fiennes. Nope. Oh, man, I really hope he cusses a lot, too, because I love hearing Ralph Fiennes curse.
Oh, like an In Bruges?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Watch. That's one of my favorite Ralph Fiennes moments. God.
When he goes off on the phone?
Yeah. Oh, it's so fantastic.
I don't know if that was a past pick of the week. It might have been.
If not, it needs to be.
If it's not, then it's in the randomizer, but I'll go ahead and put that out there now, unofficially, In Bruges.
Watch that movie.
B-U-B-R-U-G-E-S. Yes. And for those of you who don't like Colin Farrell, this will be a movie where you'll be like, maybe I do like Colin Farrell, because he's actually quite good in it.
Because I really don't like Colin Farrell, and in this movie, he is quite good.
He is quite good. Anything else come out in theaters?
Yeah, Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Oh, okay.
I think it's DreamWorks.
Yeah. It was DreamWorks.
Take off one of the old Rocky Bullwinkle cartoons.
Yep. They did do Rocky Bullwinkle back in the 90s.
God awful.
About time they got around to the little sub cartoons.
Yeah, well, no, they did. They did Dudley Do Right.
That's right.
That was a side cartoon from Rocky Bullwinkle. Mm-hmm. So now they're just picking up where they left off.
Very good, Drew. All right, and so is that it?
Yes.
All right. Well, there we go. God damn. A lot of new stuff coming out in theaters and on DVD, so check all that out, people. If you want to see reviews of Old Boy, Hunger Games, 12 Years a Slave, and I don't think I wrote anything for the Grandmaster. So, Old Boy, Hunger Games, 12 Years a Slave, you want reviews of that before you buy the DVD, go to chriscrespo.com. Right there on the front page, you'll see a little box. It says search chriscrespo.com. And then you go ahead and put in that little box. You put 12 Years a Slave, hit enter, boom, you'll get my review. Same thing with Hunger Games, all these movies. Yeah, if you want to know about any movie that I might have seen, go ahead and do that. If it hasn't popped up on there, you know what I'm going to do, Drew? This is going to be such a pain in the ass if I'm meaning to do it. I have all my examiner.com reviews. Like four years worth of fucking reviews. I got to transfer all that stuff over manually. Review by review.
Copy, paste. Copy, paste.
No. Copy, reformat, paste. Copy, no. Copy, reformat, add pictures, add video, add tags, add metadata. Enter.
So you're writing a whole new article.
No, I'm recopying. just the reviews. Only the actual straight up movie reviews. Like all the other op-eds and all that bullshit. The bullshit articles, they can stay on there. But I want the reviews to be on chriscrespo.com. So people can go to the search bar and be like, oh, I wonder what he thought of, with The Prestige. Put in there, and there will be an article to pop up for Prestige.
The Prestige. You know. Batman versus Wolverine as dueling magicians.
That's the entire.
Nikola Tesla is played by David Bowie. Yeah. Need I say more?
Yeah, that's the entirety of the article. Thank you for ruining that one for the people, Drew. All right, we're going to take a break. We got some stuff to talk about in the second half. I do have a couple questions. I think I got a Drewster Cogburn game around here somewhere.
Oh, I'm too tired for that right now.
Yeah, well, too bad, dude. Too bad. So we're going to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back. So you guys don't go anywhere. I got one song for you this week. We're doing the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack again because I like it so much. This one is Green Green Rocky Road, performed by good old Oscar Isaac. So enjoy, guys, and we'll be right back.
Need no carpet on my floor. You come along and follow me. We'll go down to Galilee. Out in green, green rocky road, you're promenading green. Tell me who you love, tell me who you love. See that crow up in the sky, it don't walk, but he just fly, it don't walk, but he don't run, keep on flapping to the sun. Howling green, green, rocket road, you promenade. Tell me who you love, tell me who you love. Does your mama chew tobacco if your mama chews tobacco? Hookadooka, hookadooka, soda cracker. Howling green, green, rock and roll, you're promenading green. Tell me who you love, tell me who you love. Now when I go back Baltimore, no carpet on my floor, you come along and follow me. There's a man in Galilee, howling green, green, rocky road, you're promenading green. Tell me who you love, tell me who you love.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome, indeed. It is me, Christopher Crespo, hanging out in the brand new Crespo Diso Studio, SS Crespo Diso 2.0. The life draft is at the bottom of the ocean. Crespo Diso version 1.0. Is in pieces. It's gone. But we've moved
Riding
on.
Riding at the bottom of the sea.
But we've moved on.
Just barely.
But now we're here. We're alive. We're in even more, even deeper into even more international waters is where we are. These waters got even more international. That's how deep we got.
What?
Yep.
I don't understand.
Yep, dude.
That doesn't make any sense, bro.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is. So, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. Let's get those plugs out of the way. We already mentioned ChrisCrespo.com. You can get the show on Twitter at CrespoDiso. You can also email us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Feel free to use that email for anything you want to do. You want to ask us questions, send us comments, complaints. Want to order a t-shirt that we don't have anymore. You want to get some stickers that we still need to make. CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com is where it's at. You want to join our fantasy baseball league? Hit us up there. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, like I said, at CrespoDiso. Or on Facebook, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Get the show on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, at ChrisCrespo.com. Follow Drew on Twitter at
EdHero419, Twitter and Instagram.
Follow him on both people. And don't bother searching for him on Facebook, because he doesn't want you being Facebook friends.
Not unless I know you personally.
Nope. You gotta meet him, shake his hand, say what's up, I'm this guy, and then send a friend request. Right?
And even then, I might not accept it.
Even then, he might be like, that's kind of creepy. Me? I don't give a fuck. I'm on Facebook. Chris Crespo. Just search for me. And I'll be there, buddy. And you can be my Facebook friend. We'll be Facebook friends. It's cool. All right, let me get some beer here. Let me drink some. Didn't do much show prep this week, Drew. So
yeah, I feel you.
That was good. Hey, this is for you, Drew.
That was for me. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being a good co-host, a good co-producer. I appreciate it, buddy. And you know what this one's for?
What's that for?
That's for the death of Harold Ramis.
Poor guy.
Poor Harold Ramis. If I tell you, Drew, the name Harold Ramis, what do you think of?
I don't know.
So if I tell you that Harold Ramis is dead, you're like, eh. No reaction because you're not sure who that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. What if I told you the person that just passed away is the director of Caddyshack, Groundhog Day, The Ice Harvest, and also starred in Stripes, Ghostbusters, and a bunch of other great movies.
Was he the guy in the glasses?
He's the guy in the glasses.
Oh, now I do feel bad because I know who he is.
Rest in peace, Harold Ramis. He died early this week. Apparently for the last couple years, he's had some health problems, and it all caught up to him, which is very unfortunate. He was like 69 years old, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, the film community, the comedy community for the last week has been mourning his loss, and yeah, it's pretty sad because the guy's been behind a couple of the biggest comedy films of the last 30 years. When you think of Caddyshack. When you think of National Lampoon's Vacation,
yeah.
Right, the first one, not European Vacation or whatever else, the first one. When you think of the masterpiece that is Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Right? All these things are thanks to good old Harold Ramis. Now, he's had his share of stinkers. You remember Year One?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that Jack Black Michael Cera movie from a couple years ago.
So terrible.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no one's perfect. Right, you know, but still, he's done enough that he's advanced cinema and comedy in a way enough that
we can forgive him
for stuff like that. He can make his stinkers, and it's cool because, man, he gave us Groundhog Day because you did Caddyshack because you knew it was smart enough to stay up one night with Bill Murray and Chevy Chase and write a scene with those two characters together in the movie because he. When they were making Caddyshack, they had Bill Murray in one scene. Yeah. Chevy Chase as one character, Chevy Chase as another. And they didn't have these characters interacting at all in the movie. There was no reason for the characters to interact.
They need to.
And they were like, we have to have these guys interact at some point. And Bill Murray and Chevy Chase didn't even like each other.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, you know, we do have to be in the same scene. So they all got together. Those guys, Harold Ramis, they had dinner. They had some drinks. They probably smoked some weed because it's in the scene.
Yeah.
And they sat down and they figured out a situation where they have... the groundskeeper and Ty, I think it's Ty, the golfer, get together. That's the scene where he shows him his grass hybrid, which is the Kentucky bluegrass. It's a Kentucky bluegrass Jamaican sesame. and then he has him the giant joint. Yeah. He's like, go ahead and smoke that. He's like, okay. Chevy Chase starts smoking it. And then he gives him the bottle of liquor.
Yeah.
My favorite line is when he goes, here, drink that. And Chevy Chase goes, with my lips. and then he gets him to, like, he's like smoking and then drinking, and then Bill Murray just goes, cannonball, we're cannonballing. And then he's and it's like, what the hell, this is in the middle of this golf comedy that's supposed to be about the caddies. We're watching a rich white guy and a groundskeeper get wasted in the middle of the night, a little bit of night golfing. Oh, Harold Ramis, we miss you, bro, already. It's only been a week, so that's a shame, but it happens. People die. We got Philip Seymour Hoffman. People die all the
every
time.
Every single day. I mean, you know what, Chris?
What?
Somebody just died.
Someone just died. So all we can hope is that on the day that Harold Ramis died, someone was born who in 20, 30 years will exhibit some sort of comedic force or talent that, you know, help fill the void, you know? The universe hates a void.
Does it?
It loathes a void.
Is that why it's expanding and turning more space into a void?
No,
because
it's filling the void into outer space, into universe. It's filling the void.
But it's expanding the void.
Hey, this isn't Doctor's Two Cents, the nothingness episode. I recommend you go back a couple weeks and check out the bonus episode, Dr. Drew's Two Cents,
and
nothingness.
Let us twist your mind in ways unimaginable.
That was actually one of the more fun bonus episodes that we've done. I really enjoyed that one. You've come up
with... Well, so did I, because I had to use my brain.
Yeah, the nothingness episode, the cover songs episode of Crespo Disco. You've come up with some of the better...
I got some good ideas, bro.
You've come up with some of the better ones lately, man. And I'm really looking forward to the food one that we're going to do in a couple weeks. So keep up the good work, buddy. Keep it up. Pretty soon here, you're going to end up with an Employee of the Year award.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you with it.
You're going to have an Employee of the Year award with my name on it.
We can do battle. with our Employee of the Year awards.
No, I'm saying I'm
Oh, you're actually going to give it to me?
I'm going to give you my Employee of the Year.
Well, awesome. Then I can kill you with it, finally.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to kill you with it. All right, we'll get to awards and do battle. Okay. This is all part of the stalling because I really did not do much show prep this week, unfortunately. I do apologize, guys, if this episode is slightly subpar in quality. I think we're making up for it in loopiness. Let me drink some more.
That'll help.
Why don't you give him a play-by-play on my drinking?
Highlight, down the gullet, and swallow. Oh, wait, swish? Mm-hmm. A couple swishes first. What's with the swish before the swallow? It's all fuzzy.
Because it's a little cold.
Oh.
So I can't really just chug it.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, I'm not trying to chug it. I do like to taste the hoppiness of this Fine Cigar Silly Highlight Ale. And this is my third one. So, forgive the slurriness.
To get drunk.
They are kind of high octane. It's like 7.... it's right here. 7.5% per can. So, hoorah. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know why I do that. It's not Army. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry, Army guys. Don't hate me. Or Marines. Shit. I'm just getting deeper into a hole. Paramount adds explanatory note to Noah after pressure by religious group.
Seriously?
So this is going on. We've been talking about this now for... We've been tracking this for a few weeks. The whole Christian exploitation wave of films coming out in 2014, which includes Darren Aronofsky's Noah, of all things.
I do not consider this a Christian exploitation
film. It's not, but part of the reason why Paramount agreed to spend the money to make it was because they were hoping to tap into that market. The market that got passionate enough to Christ to $600 million worldwide.
Yes, because right? Those are totally the same people that made Black Swan a huge hit.
We're talking studio exec logic. They're looking at, yeah, sure, we're talking about the director of Black Swan, but we're also talking about the subject matter from the same book that brought us the Passion of the Christ and, other huge Christian-based blockbuster films like the Ten Commandments. Man, that was a long time ago.
This is not those movies.
It's not.
I haven't even seen it, and I know this.
It's not. So this is why shit like this is happening right here. So here we go. This is an article by Sherman Waxman from The Wrap, which is a Hollywood Reporter thing. Paramount has added an explanatory message to its biblical epic Noah at the request of a religious broadcasters group, the studio, and the group announced on Thursday. The decision followed in an appeal, blah, 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 blah. The statement added to the film is... The film is inspired by the story of Noah. While artistic license has been taken, we believe that this film is true to the essence, values, and integrity of a story that is a cornerstone of faith for millions of people worldwide. The biblical story of Noah can be found in the book of Genesis. Here we go. Cacao, yeah.
Worst intro ever.
Add a little Aerosmith to it. Cacao! Alright, so we're going to get back to that Noah message real quick. Because, as we all know, explaining is losing. Dr. Drew. You ready for this week's Dr. Drewster's Cogburn? Dr. Drewster's Cogburns versus the world. You ready?
Let's get this over with. I'm tired.
Think of the children, Drew. Think of the children. Remember this game. This is the game. Think of the children. When I give you the movie, you give me the rating. All right? We're doing the Harold Ramis edition. So here we go. Let me see what I got here. I got 10 movies. We're going to blow through these. I'm going to tell you what the movie is. You tell me what the rating is. All of these Harold Ramis either directed, wrote, starred in, something like that. You get the idea. Number one, what's the rating? Caddyshack.
PG-13.
Rated R. Number two.
What, for language?
Language and then drinking and drug use and there's some tits in there too.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Good old tits. Let me write that down. Maybe that'll be the episode title. No, it won't be. I won't put tits in there. Number two, Ghostbusters.
PG.
Correct. Number three, Ghostbusters 2.
PG-13.
No, they kept it with the PG.
Oh, I thought they tried to one-up themselves.
See, I thought they would too. Number four, The Ice Harvest.
R.
That's correct.
That's a hard R.
That is a hard R. That's the strip clubs and sure. Yeah, so you're 2 for 2 so far. Number 5, the aforementioned Year One.
Oh, that was PG-13.
That's correct. Good job. Number 6, Groundhog Day.
PG.
Correct. Good job. Number 7. Yeah, see, peachy. You don't have to. The movie doesn't have to be a raunchy comedy. I like raunchy comedies. It doesn't have to be all like tit fart and cum jokes to be a funny movie. You know, Groundhog Day, PG, fucking perfect movie and hysterical. There you go. Number 7. Analyze this.
R.
All right, Drew, you're killing it, man. Number 8. National Lampoon's Vacation.
PG-13.
Ooh, R. I actually think that predated PG-13 by a year or two. Maybe.
The only reason why I say PG-13 is because you always see it on TV, but it's probably all the raunchy stuff's cut out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's probably tits in there somewhere that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, it's because I've seen it mostly on television.
Tits. That's just fun to say. Here we go. Number 9, Stripes. Love that movie.
R.
Yes. Then finally, number 10. And this, I think this is the easiest one. Knocked Up.
R.
Yeah, R, when he played Seth Rogen's dad. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 10, Drew.
We are
ready to bring in a guest. We're going to have a guest here next week for Drew Zakagran versus the World. I'm looking forward to that, buddy.
Who's the competition going to be?
Oh, we'll worry about that later.
We're going to have a guest. I hope so.
Yeah, hey, we just got the Crest Producer 2.0 set up. So, we'll see about that. So, the statement added by Paramount. They didn't say when. I think it's going to be added to the end of the movie. The film is inspired by a story of Noah. While artistic license has been taken, we believe that the film is true to the essence, values, and integrity of a story that is a cornerstone of faith for millions of people worldwide. My favorite part is the last line. The biblical story of Noah can be found in the book of Genesis. I love that. I love that line. It cracks me up.
Just the fact that they felt the need to put that either anywhere in the movie at all really makes me angry.
That they would capitulate to the protestations of a handful of religious groups?
Uh-huh.
That they would compromise? Is it compromising of their art?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're changing. They're adding something to their art.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have that same feeling. I do have that same feeling. And I do... There is that adage, explaining is losing. And I do kind of believe in that. If you got to explain yourself...
Then you lost.
Yeah. And they feel the need that they have to explain themselves at the end of this movie.
That means they're throwing in the towel before the fight even begins.
Yeah, so they lost in trying to court that Christian market. And you know what? It's only a part of the market. Maybe the movie's going to be good enough that other people will want to see it just because it's a good movie. Maybe the movie's not that good.
We'll find out.
We will find out. I'll be very disappointed if it's not a very good movie, because I love Aronofsky.
Yeah.
Like we said. Like
can't
we said,
all be winners,
like,
man.
Like we were saying with Harold Ramis, man. They all can't make good movies. So there you go. Paramount is losing what they're explaining. I got a couple of questions here on the Twitter. Again, like I said, I'm not prepared, so let me...
Why don't you take out those questions, Chris? You can talk about where people can find you on Twitter while you're doing it.
At I am Chris Crespo.
And if they want to follow the show?
At Crespo Disa.
If you want to follow me, it's at DayHero419, and that's all I got, Chris. So I hope you got something for the people. Because I'm running out of stuff to talk about. Now I'm just running my mouth.
From at Rage Against Twit. Shout out to Rage Against Twit. He sends us stuff all the time. We really appreciate it, dude. His question is, great movies that surprised you. And then he put in parentheses, spoilerful. So I guess go ahead and go spoiler crazy. Hey, if you want us to go spoiler crazy, go back and find a bonus episode where the spoiler culture, I think it was called. The spoiler culture bonus episode where we spoil something like 30 or 40 different movies.
Real quick.
Yeah, real quick. that was a lot of fun. Great movies that surprised you, spoilerful. His examples are Usual Suspects, The Prestige, Fight Club.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of those had a nice, fun plot twist.
Yeah. As opposed to, like, a movie where, like we saw, say, Nonstop, where it had plot twists, but they weren't that surprising or that great.
Correct.
Fight Club, when I saw that movie, it was the last show of the day.
Yeah.
So when I got out of the theater like 11, 1130 at night, I wanted to turn around
and go see it again.
I wanted to see it immediately again, and I couldn't. I literally could not see it again. I had to wait a week to see it again because of whatever.
I mean, the first time I saw Old Boy, I was just... I was floored.
Yeah. All right. The second time I saw Old Boy, I honestly can't remember the first time I saw it. I don't know why I can't, but I can't. But I do remember the second time I saw it, which was your first time.
Yeah.
And we saw it at the Enzion Theater. And not only was it you, but there were other people in the theater that I remember. Just the moment that comes up in the movie, the big, you know, the big twist, the big reveal.
Watch me standing there slack jawed, staring at the screen, just like, whoa.
You could feel it. You could feel it around the entire theater, and I enjoyed. Like, this, I remember this one guy over here that was by himself. Like, the way he was kind of like, he was sort of laughing to himself, like, no way. Like, no, this isn't happening, you know? And then your thing, you're like, huh? And then, like, over here, there's people like, what's going on?
Yeah.
At this one moment, but I knew it was coming. It's like, here it is, this is it. And then it happened, and it was like an explosion in the audience. Wow. You know? That was a lot of fun. Great movies. Other movies that would spoil it, you know? There's a stereotypical ones, like Sixth Sense got me.
See, I was late on that. Just like I was late on the whole Blair Witch thing, so I didn't get the...
Well, I didn't see Sixth Sense until it was on the VHS. I wasn't on the first wave, but still, for some reason, no one told me
Twist. It got ruined on me within like the first week that movie came out.
That stinks. You know, Alfred Hitchcock, when he did Psycho, his commercials, and it was commercials, whatever, however they advertised, I guess it was the in-theater advertising, the trailers and stuff, the trailers featured him, and he was all like, don't spoil the movie for people.
Yeah.
And I think there was even maybe a thing that played before the movie in theaters where he pops up and he's like, don't, when this movie's done, then you go out there, don't tell people what happened, because the whole twist in the middle about how first the lead woman gets killed halfway into the movie. That freaks people out.
Yep.
And then the mom's dead the whole time, and he's really the woman killer. You know, that's like the double twist. He was like, don't tell people about what you're going to see, because that's going to spoil the fun. Also, another thing he did was he made theater owners close their doors. When the movie started, he was like, don't let anyone in. Because back then, it was much more common.
Oh, yeah, just people would walk in, walk
just
out,
walk in,
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like, nope, not during Psycho, because we got special things going on that people got to be in on the whole time, you know? Can't do that shit that way.
No.
Man, that's a lot harder.
They could try. They'd fail miserably.
What's the last movie that came out that had a big twist like that, that people were like, you gotta go see this movie. I'm not gonna tell you why, you know? Since Fight Club.
I can't really think of one.
Usual Suspect shortly before that, right? The Prestige was 2000.
Not anything huge. I mean, yeah, The Prestige had a big reveal,
but it wasn't that big of a movie, though. It only made $50, $60 million, something like that.
Exactly. Half the people, when you talk about Chris Nolan movies, don't even bring up The Prestige.
Yeah, because for a lot of people, Chris Nolan doesn't exist until The Dark Knight.
Exactly.
Even Batman Begins. Like, The Dark Knight is when they start paying attention to Chris Nolan.
And Inception, shit like that. Like, they don't.
Yeah,
this
isn't
even on the radar.
That's post Dark Knight. Yeah. Yeah, I told people, we got to see Insomnia, man, with Al Pacino. They're like, what? It's a remake. No one did a remake? You guys don't even know.
Yeah.
You don't.
It was a good idea. Robin Williams is so creepy in that movie.
Yeah, that's when you went through his I want to be creepy in movies.
I love his creepy in movie. Dude, seriously.
That in 1 hour photo.
And that's why I want to see Tom Hanks be a bad guy. Because all these guys that are play the nicest guys ever and the sweetest characters, all of a sudden they come at you from the left.
They can flip
creep factor. And it's like, whoa, dude, I'm really afraid of you.
The creep factor. I'm going to write that down. The creep. Still trying to pick. All right, so far we got Jew Brofro, which I think it's just a little too. It's racial, a little, you know. Son of Graphics? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Taken on a Plane? I might do that one. The Creep Factor. What was the other one? Tits? Something about tits. No tits in there. All right. Okay, let's see. We'll find out. Obviously, if you downloaded the show, you already know what the show title is, so this is not suspenseful for you at all. podcasting. We'll figure this out eventually, dude. It's only been over a year. We'll figure this out eventually. All right, so thanks, Rage Against Twit. I know I had one more question, and I don't want to leave it. I don't know, because I always feel bad. But sometimes I get a question, I'll leave it out. All right, here we go. I got it. Good old Matt Celery. Shout out to Matt Celery. He's the man. Thoughts on misleading trailers?
I hate them.
Can you think of a trailer where you felt misled? That Nonstop trailer is a little misleading, because that way the trailer is done, it's definitely cut to make you think that Julianne Moore has something to do with the the way she's
what was the movie?
And then obviously outside misleading in terms of, oh, it makes the movie look good, and then you turn up and it's shit.
Well, that happens with just about. That happens all the time.
But something where you turn up and you expect one thing and then you get something else. I mean, they do that, though. When movies that have that cross genres, like an action comedy, like an action rom-com, they have a couple of those, right? Like This Means War.
Yeah.
You might see, remember, there will be
really
commercials for This
action
Means
movie.
War. Yeah, if you're watching ESPN, a lot of dudes watch ESPN.
Yeah,
they'll show commercials.
Action trailer.
Tom Hardy and Chris Pine, pow, 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 shooting up. Oh, by the way, they're both banging Reese Witherspoon. That's a side thing. The exact same movie, you see commercials for it on like the Lifetime Network.
It's all Reese Witherspoon talking about dudes and them looking all suave.
Talking
and this,
about
that,
dudes with Chelsea Handler and they're shopping together. And then like, oh, there's two guys. What do they do?
And,
I don't know.
And they're both wearing suits. And then, maybe one of them pulls a gun or something.
Yeah. There's the thing. Like, what do they do? And then quick shots of them. CIA guys. Yeah. Oh, so there's a bit of action in there too. But it's really, the shit like that happens all the time. You even mentioned that recently with that awkward moment.
I couldn't tell what kind of movie it was.
Yeah, because they were on TV. There are two different types of commercials. Yeah. One for the dudes and one for the chicks.
Yep.
You know, that's just marketing, though. Marketing inherently is lying.
Correct.
And I do... Okay, so there is a bit of... I do have a bit of a conflict there. See, Drew, I'm a complex person. I'm not...
Are you?
Life is not black and white. Life's a bunch of grays, shades of gray.
How many?
An infinite amount of grays, shades of gray.
I'm really glad you didn't say 50 or I was going to slap you.
Oh, that didn't even enter my mind.
Good. That's why I tested it. That's why I asked the question.
I think that movie was supposed to come out this summer, but it got pushed to like 2015 because they couldn't. I don't know.
What, because they couldn't cut it down to a rated R?
Yeah, that too. They're going to have to figure out also, right? Anyway. No, man. I'm like a complex dude. You know, so when I see...
deep as the kiddie pool, right?
So I know... Yeah, exactly. Like the gene pool. Gene pool of life. The kiddie pool, gene pool, shallow end. The trailers are inherently misleading. They're just showing you all the big moments. They're just trying to sell you to see a movie. Just like any commercial. Just like any advertising. It's just selling you on something. So it's lying to you. Because it'll tell you fucking anything to get you to buy what it's selling. Whatever shit it's peddling, okay? On the flip side, I love a good trailer, man. You see that new Godzilla trailer?
Oh, it's so good.
That's a good fucking trailer.
It's so good.
It starts with 30 seconds of Walter White talking about how he's like, we know this. Like, this is a natural disaster.
The Watchmen trailer.
The Watchmen trailer was great. Zack Snyder movies make for great trailers.
Oh.
The Sucker Punch trailer, going back to misleading trailers.
That Sucker Punch trailer, I was like, this is going to be the greatest movie ever. It's hot girls and slow motion action.
Yep.
And there's some weird giant samurai robot with a minigun.
Right.
This is amazing. And wow, what a piece of shit movie.
Yeah, you start to see the movie and it's like, oh, that's all that is.
Yeah.
Those elements, that's actually it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing else there. There's interesting Oscar Isaac performance.
Yes.
That's about it. So there you go. Those are some misleading trailers and commercials for sure. So it's marketing. So, you know, on one hand, I appreciate a good trailer. On the other hand, I'm not surprised if I sit down and see Godzilla and it sucks. Actually, you know, I mean, that's just an example. In this specific instance of Godzilla 2014, I will be very surprised if it sucks because I think his name is Gareth Edwards. The guy who did Monsters, which is on the Netflix, the guy's good. He did a lot with the very small budget for Monsters. Now they gave him a huge budget, and it's fucking Godzilla. That trailer looks sick.
And Bryan Cranston, come on.
Got Bryan Cranston. Got Kick-Ass in there. Aaron Taylor, Robert Johnson, Smith, something like that. I'm almost done with this third highlight here. Elizabeth Olsen is in it. My favorite Olsen of all the Olsens.
Yeah.
She's the one that actually turned out pretty okay in terms of talent and even looking kind of... Hey, you guys want a reason to see Old Boy?
Titties!
wasn't going to be that crass. Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen solely. Although,
in the context, of the movie.
Plus, then you also got to put up with 40-50-year-old Josh Brolin, too. So it's, it's a bit of a give and take. That's life. That's life, Drew. Give and take.
That is, sir.
I'm going to write that down. Maybe I'll give the title. Give and take. But that's life. Life is a give and take. It's pros and cons. It's roses and bullshit is what it is. So, all right, we got those two questions out of the way. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. We got one more question, then the show is all over. Drew, who do you think our final question is from?
Billy D.
Good old Billy D. Billy D., our New York City show correspondent, writes, howdy. I read an article this week about Ice-T recording a D&D audiobook, and I started thinking.
And what did you start thinking, Bill?
Crespo Dome Literary Battle. Let's cross lances.
Of course he had to go there.
Wait, didn't we do this already?
What?
Lance Reddick and Lance Henriksen?
Yeah, we did. We did Battle of the Lances already.
Here's this question. Here we go. How's it going, guys?
That was an old question from Billy D.
With the Raid 2.
Yes.
Set to punch people's faces this year, we have the inevitable Raid remake to look forward to, which is true. Yeah. They're making a remake of the Raid. We tend to miss the mark a bit when remaking pretty great movies. So what are your hopes, dreams, and fears of the U.S. remake of the Raid? I'm going to see it. I just like to want to see it, Billy D. Thanks, Billy D. We appreciate it, buddy.
It's not going to be as good. They never are. I mean,
because it is a pretty great movie. All right,
Old Boy.
Can I give you
American remake?
Can I give you a good one?
Uh huh.
Okay.
Sure.
A Chinese movie, Infernal Affairs, is a very good film. And there's actually three of them. Infernal Affairs. Infernal Affairs was remade into The Departed.
Yeah, The Departed.
The Departed.
That was a good remake, but that was in the hands of a master.
Yeah, hands of a couple masters. I think it was written by William Monahan, who wrote Kingdom of Heaven and a couple other really, really good movies. So, yeah, there were people, like, really, really talented people working on that.
Most remakes do not.
Most people, yeah, most remakes.
I mean, even...
It's a cheap throw. It's a cheap throw-in.
Spike tried with Old Boy.
He did try.
He failed.
What was he given? What were his resources? Was he allowed to make the movie? He wasn't allowed to make the movie he wanted to make because of the whole director's cut thing with the 20-30 minutes cut out, you know? So even then, when you ask someone like Spike Lee to make his version of Old Boy, his reimagining, his cover version of Old Boy, however he liked to call it, you don't do that, and then you undermine the man by cutting out a chunk of his movie and putting it out in bullshit form like that.
Let Me In.
Okay, Let Me In is an interesting one because that wasn't a remake, but it was, though.
It was.
What happened was, see, what I read about this is a rare instance. So the book came out, written by the Swedish dude, right? It was Swedish.
Yeah.
So the book came out, and someone secured the movie rights to make the movie, and they started simultaneously an international version and an American version at the same time. They tried to get both movies made at the same time. The international one got made first, way ahead of schedule. The Let Me In version, it was harder to get that made. The vampire craze hadn't hit, right? And then let the Right One In comes out, the Swedish version, and it's fantastic. Thomas Alfredson, they found this guy. He's a great director. He went on to make Tinker and Tailor, Soldier Spy.
So good.
Guy's good. Guy's really good. Thomas Alfredson. So after that got made, and it was a good movie, and then the vampire craze hit America, then it was got easier to make Let Me In. And then they gave that to a guy at the Cloverfield, Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
He had obviously seen Let the Right One In by that point because everyone had seen it.
Yeah.
So obviously he was going to like, okay, I know it's a production that we've been working on this for a while, but I'm still going to be pulling from this other version that's out there because why? Why fuck with something that's already... And you know what? His version's still really good. If the Let the Right One In didn't exist and
it
he still made Let Me In the way he did...
It would be great.
I would have the same gripes with the use of CG, with the graphics of the movie. Some of it just doesn't look that good. I like the more practical effects, obviously, but the mood was great. It was very creepy at times.
The only thing that I think the original had was just the difference in like the dark-haired gypsy vampire.
The Romanian chick.
And that fucking Swedish kid who was like the whitest thing on the freaking planet.
Oh yeah, that the American version absolutely did miss that because the Swedish one was set in Sweden. Everyone saw everyone is Swedish. They're very white. They're translucent because of the lack of sun. And then the vampire girl is I think she's Romanian in the movie, but she's a dark skinned, dark haired girl. She totally does not fit with the surroundings. You lose that in the American version because it's in a desert.
Exactly.
It's just
and it's in America.
And it's America. Yeah. So you
it's already a melting pot.
Yeah. You don't blink when you see different races. Yeah. Oh, there's a Mexican and a white guy and a black guy. They're all hanging out together. So
that's fine.
This is America. Exactly. This is kind of what we're about.
Yeah.
And secretly they hate each other because of their races, but they're getting along during their lunch hour at work because this is America. So it is. You're right. Yeah, it is missing that the whole cultural aspect. It's a good question when it comes to remakes and making remakes of movies that are already good just because they're foreign. Now we're going to make English and American.
Yeah, American versions of them.
And then The Raid, even then, was done by an Englishman.
I mean, hell, there.
The guy who did that is a white guy. He had an Indonesian crew, but he was a white guy who directed it.
I mean, what's the trailer we just saw for, Broken Mansions or whatever?
Brick Mansions? The Paul Walker movie?
Yeah. The remake of Badly in 13?
Yeah, which is, in that case, it's kind of like Let Me In, where it's the producers of District 13.
Badly in 13.
However you say it. Luc Besson, like, he's the one that's like, I want an English language version of this movie too, which for him, that's just, hey, I'm making more money out of the same script.
That's Luke.
Yeah, smart.
It's Luke being Luke.
Smart guy. That's the same thing. Yeah. So, I mean, it happens. That one, you know, B-13 is an okay movie. It's not like that one's so great that the Paul Walker version is going to shit all over some original classic.
But it was cool enough.
It was cool enough to help get the parkour craze started in America. Exactly.
It was, you know, it was this weird little French film that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Was, you know, off the chain.
Yeah, it was cool enough that all of a sudden Casino Royale had to involve some guy doing parkour.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not James Bond, but someone else.
Somebody had to.
So what do you expect out of the Raid remake? The American remake? Cool action?
The action will be cool. We're in America, bro. We know how to do action. We know how to blow shit up.
We do,
there's one thing that we know, it's how to blow shit up.
But is it postmodern action where the camera's going to be all shaky and I can't see nothing? Because the guy who does the Raid movies, he knows how to frame. He knows how to make these scenes work visually.
They're going to give it to some douchebag who doesn't know what he's doing.
That'll be a shame.
It's probably going to be the guy who directed Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, no.
They're going to give it to him, and everything's going to be all weird and shaky, and people are going to be falling with glass, and everyone's going to be immortal.
That movie was so weird that there was one single shot that was actually steady, and you could see what was going on, and it's still like a sore thumb. I was like, this shot looks amazing while it's happening. And then it quickly cut back to like shaky camera. I was like, okay, now we're back to the reality of what this movie's about. Like, where did that come from? Some guy snuck
it's gonna
that
in. It's
going
to be that guy. He's the one who's directing it.
Oh, God, I hope not. Actually, that information is probably out there, but I don't feel like I'm too tired to be looking shit up. Speaking of too tired, you know what? It's just... God damn, let's call it there, man.
Find it about.
That's Drew's out. He already put down his headphones. He's walking away, so I'm end the show here. Guys, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. Please, we'll be back next week, episode 61. Please download us. Please tell your friends. Please tell your family and people to check us out. Anyone that you think might like movies or might like a couple people just rambling about shit for an hour or so, tell them to download. Please rate us on iTunes. That helps us so much. That helps us more than you know. Rate us on iTunes. Leave us a review. You can also rate us and review us on Stitcher. We'd appreciate that. And leave the light on for us because we're going to be home late tonight. That's for sure. But don't stay up. Just leave a key under the mat. And did you grab the mat? You gotta grab the mat tomorrow, bro. People don't know what we're talking about. I hope that information helps you a year from now when you download the show and you wonder what we're talking about. We're talking about grabbing the mat. It's beyond the mat. McCoy story. I'm gonna do Drew Sakagwood's not even here anymore. He left, so it's just me. I might just do another 10 minutes just by myself, you know. There's a comedian, Paul F. Tompkins, who does a podcast called the Paul F. Tomcast. He doesn't do it anymore, actually. He might do it again. But he does this whole, and it's also part of his stand-up comedy, where he just rambles for like 10, 15 minutes, stream of consciousness, And he tries to be funny. And sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not. That's the stream of consciousness. That's how it works. So maybe I'll give that a shot for a couple minutes. Just start rambling. Now Drew Zuckerman is just wandering around. His underwear is hanging out of his pants. He doesn't care. The Oscars are going on right now. I need to be watching that. Actually, we have about 2 hours. Look at now Drew's showing me his ass. What's this guy doing? He doesn't want to be on the show, but he's showing me his ass. He's walking away. Uh-oh. Now he's doing a full Monty. You people don't want to see this. You definitely don't. So, the Crestwood ESO 2.0 studio is pretty cool. Looking forward to the Wall Street studio being set up completely so we can do that live show. Now Drew Zuckerman is threatening to poke my eyeballs out as I try to wrap this up stream of consciousness style. That live show on Monday nights, I'm thinking we're going to be broadcasting at 7 o'clock. Let me know what you think of that. Are you guys going to be able to tune in 7 o'clock to check us out live? I hope so. Because then we'll be able to take some phone calls, some questions. We might open up the phone lines or something like that. Get you guys involved in the Crestwood Dome. Maybe we could get people to call in and do call-ins versus Drew Zuckerman versus the world. Drew Zuckerman versus the world for real, because it's open to the world. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll get that set up. That'll be really cool. And then you can win some prizes. We're going to try to have some cool prizes this year. Might have a bead for your locals. Got a lot of local listeners for you guys. Might have a bead on some Orlando City soccer tickets, and not through any sort of hookup you may think. But we got one. Maybe. We'll see. Definitely looking forward to some Orlando City soccer this year. Magic tickets giveaway. No. Can't even give those away because they're so bad this year. But hey, what are you going to do? At least they're not the 76ers, who are horrible. 76ers are terrible. What do you expect? They're based out of Philadelphia. And shout out to my homeboy Tim Fagan, but Philadelphia sucks. You know, it's just a horrible city with a lot of bitter people. Shout out to our Philly listeners. You guys are awesome, though. We love you. You're the best. So, all right. I guess that's enough rambling. I'm out of here.